What's up, guys? Welcome to the Toasty Podcast. Today, we got to talk to Shane Warner. He used to be a radio show host, turned into a teacher, and now he's got something to say. So, let's hear him out, and let's get toasty. Teaching thing was really just to talk about right now. You have kids, and you used to be a teacher, and what's that like? Because you're not teaching now, but you're watching them have to do virtual learning, and how the heck is that going?
So, it's going fine, depending on your school district, is what I've discovered. Because they actually switched schools from last year to this year.
Okay.
But the thing that gets me about, I guess, the whole situation, and regardless of your view on COVID, right? I talked to my dad last night. So my brother is an assistant principal at a school in Virginia.
Is that why you started?
My brother, he's been in education for he's probably been in education 10, 15 years now. But if you knew my brother 20, 30 years ago, nobody would ever have pinned him as an assistant principal. So it's a surprise that he kind of ended up there. But
it's like the crazy brother ending up as a teacher, or the crazy brother ending up as a cop, or whatever.
But he worked in special ed and some other. He's always been interested in that field. Now he wanted to kind of do the next thing, which is an assistant principal.
Yeah.
Well, he is very, at least from what I gather on his Facebook posts. So my brother and I
It's like families these days.
It's not like when I was about to say my brother and I don't talk. It's not that we just don't call each other that much. Mm-hmm. We call each other to play and stuff. We get along. We're fine. We're great.
Yeah.
But he's on the more cautious side of the COVID spectrum than I am. And he is very much, we probably should not go back to in person.
Okay.
We're being forced too soon. What about the teachers?
Right.
And I'm very much like, teachers are not some fucking protected class of people, right? They're not saints.
Right.
They're not, they're just teachers. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
A lot of them do a great job.
Yeah.
And a lot of them do it for terrible pay, and they put in a ton of hours.
Yeah.
But they're no different than you and I were as a service advisor.
Right.
In terms of exposure, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
not at all, right.
This whole teachers were putting them in harm's way and they're being forced. Nobody's making you be a teacher.
Right.
Right?
It's like no one's making me go to the dealership every day.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, if you don't know, a service advisor, how many strangers would we meet a day?
I took a survey just to do it, and I put 150 a day. It could be more.
100?
I don't know. 100?
Let's say 100. 100 strangers.
Right. And that's true. That's
and
real.
A teacher meets 25 to 30 kids.
Same kids.
Now,
if
you're a high school teacher, you're seeing 80 to 120 kids between your classes.
What grade did you teach?
I taught high school.
You taught high school.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess my whole point of this is, like, we treat teachers with such kid gloves, like they cannot be criticized ever, or just by virtue of them doing that job, they are all of a sudden a protected class or a special class of people, and they're not.
Right.
And that's my whole hang up with this thing is that you don't turn on the news and hear people talking about, well, should we be sending supermarket workers back? They never left. Right? And I get the differences, the enclosed spaces, the social distancing, but teachers are not guaranteed a job. It's not their job.
Right.
We don't make these kinds of judgments on other professions.
Sure.
The way we do teachers.
Well, and then of course I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying that I feel left out or anything, but you know, every time they say the people that are supposed to be working right now,
the first responders, whatever they said at the beginning, right?
Frontline workers, whatever. They never think of anything else. They never think of, like, oh, we're always – dealerships are always open.
Right.
Sunday's the only day we're closed, period, in a story, even during COVID, right? And right. I'm not trying to say we're anything. I'm trying to say, actually, that makes us, like, we're just normal freaking people.
Right.
And you chose your job, and you're right. That is kind of how it goes. You know what I mean? I think you're in more harm being a nurse and a doctor from other things, not just COVID.
Well,
you know, and it's like
I guess this is where I have an issue with the media and the way things are reported is there is no distinction between an inherent risk built into being a doctor, an inherent risk being built into being a teacher, right? Your inherent risk as a doctor is there day to day for certain things.
Yeah.
This is new for all of us. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, a teacher is no different than a service advisor.
Oh, right. Okay, right.
So to me, when I hear, when I watch the news or I hear people complaining and I see these teachers, I don't feel safe going, then don't go back. If your school opens up, then don't go back.
Right.
Well, but I won't have a job. Well, tough shit.
Yeah.
So what? Yeah. I mean, you're not guaranteed that job. And right. That's the problem with education is that at the end of the day, it's a government sponsored or government driven entity that breeds that mentality of this is my job, right?
Yeah.
It's my job.
Right.
Never once did I show up to work as a service advisor or even a teacher for that matter.
Right. Of course not. Obviously with your
this is my job. Until you own a business, until you write checks, it's not your job. It's somebody else's job.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear there's a difference, right? Because if you own a business or you're that guy, then you're not leaving and you don't go to lunch and you like are there constantly and you work more than 12 hours a day because it's your business right. And that's your job. And at that point, yeah, it's your job. It's almost turning into your life. But when 5 o'clock hits as a teacher, you go home.
Right. And they'll say, well, I grade papers at home and I do this. And
which you might.
I buy my own supplies.
Right. A long time ago, you're like, I wasn't actually off as a teacher either when I was off.
But
like, fine.
But again,
You definitely just chose. The point exactly. I'm making is that you're still working for somebody else. Yeah.
Right. And you chose to be there.
Right.
Like you aren't entitled to that job.
Right. I mean, that's the hang
up. But that's the mentality now. And it's not just teachers, but we're acting as if teachers and education is different because everybody's going to be in this room.
I feel like teachers like caught on to like everything else going on in the country. And they were like, oh, we can play this game too. You know?
Sure.
And now we're the victim.
Right? Well, I think that has been there for a long time.
Oh, okay.
And if you ever, I don't know if I taught you, if I ever told you,
you are a teacher,
go watch Waiting for Superman. Have you seen that documentary?
No.
It's phenomenal. And
is it on Netflix
it's old
or anything,
now?
Or is it?
I'm sure it is somewhere. Oh,
okay.
So
I might be honest.
It's old now. It's probably 10 to 15 years old. And so it's the statistics will be dated. But the ideas behind it are not.
Waiting for Superman.
Yeah.
Hold on. Documentary. Hold on.
Waiting for Superman. It's right there.
This is it right here?
Yeah.
Trailer,
yeah.
We can just watch the trailer? All right.
Well, if you want to watch it.
Well, it'll play on here.
Oh, I got to put my headphones on?
If you want to. You know?
I don't know what college I want to go to, but I know I want to go to some.
Is it playing?
I want to be a nurse. Okay. I want to be a doctor.
How come?
Because I would like to help somebody in need.
What's it even about, though? Well, I guess watch the
trailer. You wake up every morning and you know that kids are getting a really crappy education right now.
So you think that most of the kids are getting a crappy education right now?
Oh, I don't think they are. I know they are.
Either the kids are getting stupider every year, or something is wrong in the education system.
I just try to do my best in school and make my grandmother proud.
Among 30 developed countries, we rank 25th in math and 21st in science. In almost every category, we've fallen behind, except one. Kids from the USA rank number one in confidence.
About 60,000 people have gone to this school in 40 years. 40,000 didn't graduate. This is the damage that this school has done to this neighborhood.
A child that doesn't finish high school will earn less and be 8 times more likely to go to prison.
I want to go to school.
For these kids, their only chance at getting into a great school depends on whether their number is picked in the lottery.
So if Francisco doesn't get in, is there another chance?
No.
Your children and future generation are on the bridge of the Titanic and everybody's gonna drown.
Someone has taken an interest in you, someone loves you, and they recognize the importance of education. And the first student selected?
20.
Nine.
It takes a lot of outrage and a lot of good examples
to say, yes, we can do this.
When you see a great teacher, you are seeing a work of art.
I want my kids to have better than what I had.
18.
Okay, so essentially that was just basically saying, like, it's a good documentary. It's about, like, how it actually happens and how we're – I mean, I don't understand why.
So those kids are trying to get into a charter school.
What's up, Toasters? I'm Sky, and I'm the producer of the Toasty Podcast. We know we've been cutting this episode short lately, and I'd like to explain why. Podcasting costs money, and the truth is, we can't put the money we'd like to put into this platform for 1 to 2 hour-long episodes every week. We just can't. So for right now, you can expect the best part of each podcast to be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the other podcast apps we've been doing for a long time now. We also have our videos on YouTube under the channel The Toasty Podcast. However, if you want the full, unedited, uncut version of each of our podcasts, please check out patreon.com/thetoastypodcast and become a patron. There, you'll find the truest and most loyal fans. So, I hope you guys are on board because The Toasty Podcast is growing. And I want you to be there. Peace, love, and podcasting. Now, back to the show.
Okay. A non-government... So, a charter school is a school... funded by tax dollars.
Right.
But that does not have to follow most of the rules and regulations that a public school does. So it has the freedom and the flexibility to operate the way that it sees fit. So the whole point of the documentary is that our public schools, largely due to the teachers' unions, are failing our kids. And okay. There are, especially in inner cities, Los Angeles and New York, big cities, right? There are families that want to get out of the public school system, but don't have the financial means to do so. And these charter schools provide them a private school-like opportunity,
right.
But they don't have to pay for it.
Interesting.
So, like I said, the documentary is dated at this point, but... It doesn't change the fact that...
We still haven't changed any of these policies or anything, though, yet.
It depends on where you are. Like my kids went to a charter school.
Stuff like that, right? Like,
well, so I Texas mean, is different, right? Okay. So Texas, being a right-to-work state, is not heavily influenced by
here
unions.
Here we go.
We're not,
here's one of the other reasons, I guess, I could add to the tally of why I'm in Texas, right?
Right.
Even though I have no kids yet. But I'm just
yeah,
saying.
But so it's... You can send your kid wherever you want, right? Whether you have the money, I mean, you can pay to go to a private school, or you can go to the public school that's down the road.
Out of district, you can go.
So that's a whole other wrinkle in the story, right?
You
don't have to pay. So some schools are what's called open enrollment districts, where they will let any student into their district from any other district. Some schools are not, where if you don't live in the district, you can't go there. So there are all these kind of new... levels or new layers, if you will, of school regulations. And a lot of it was brought on by the push from 10, 20 years ago to start trying to break the monopolies that governments and teachers have on schools. So Texas, being more open to some of these ideas than like a California or New York, started to embrace some of these ideas a little bit better. But I mean, even Texas has not, I think, fully embraced charter schools to the point that
right.
that some would like. But well, and I'm not saying charter schools are the answer, but they're one part.
It's interesting
of it.
You're saying because like one of the previous episodes we had of the Toasty Podcast was about privatizing education,
right?
And I mean, I guess you're a big proponent. You like you want that.
Well,
is that
depends on what you mean by privatizing.
There's obviously a lot of ways you could do right. it, right? But I think that Matt's main thing was the teachers' union. But it's the same thing as if you're going on like the union part of things. It's the same problem as like job unions, like Lockheed right. Martin things have, because they're still able to lobby even after getting government contracts. So right. the same problems can still happen in a school, I guess, right?
Yeah, so
government intervention, basically.
Yeah, and it's not even, it is intervention, but so my number one example and the primary reason, I think the primary evidence that I have as to how government policy harms education is when I went to quit. So I went to my principal, right?
Yeah.
So I'd been in education, so I've been a tutor for 15 years, right?
Really?
SAT, ACT.
Is that how you, is that?
GMAT, GRE.
Did you go to school to be a teacher?
No. I went to school to be something. I had no
idea. Okay, but I didn't know that. So you were a teacher and you didn't go to school for it. I didn't
know. No. So I wasn't a teacher until 6 years ago. No, 5 years ago. So I was a radio host for 15 years, right? So I didn't.
How old are you? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I just turned 42.
Oh, cool.
So no. So we'll get to all that, but let me tell you. I wish Matt was here because I didn't tell him. So when I went to quit, right?
Yeah.
The whole reason I said I'd been a classroom teacher 2 years. In my second year, I was department chair. So I don't want to sound like an asshole, but I was a really good teacher. And my school recognized that. My students recognized that.
Yeah.
They learned, right? Yeah. So I was department chair my second year, and I gave up on it too early. I'll admit that now. But I was like, I'm done. I can't do this. So I went to go to my principal. I told him I was quitting. And he said, well, I wish there was something that I could do to keep you. I said, I wish there was too. And there's nothing. He could not, contractually, he could not offer me more money. He was bound by the salary schedule agreed to by the board. There is no flexibility to pay a better teacher based on their value.
Because it's not a private business.
It's not a private business. Every second year teacher gets paid the same regardless of how good they are at their job. Every 20-year teacher gets paid the same in every district, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mansfield and Frisco and Plano pay more than Fort Worth.
Mansfield's in there?
Oh, yeah. Mansfield's pretty high up there. Oh. But now, so you have that ability to move within the education system to get paid more. Yeah. But as a second-year teacher, I was easily top 10 teachers in the whole school. Because I could look around and some of these teachers were just there for a paycheck. They didn't give a crap. I would return graded papers to my students. So I was a history teacher and I would give them essays. And I would return an essay graded with comments on it. They would get it back. They'd look at it and they'd look up at me and they'd go, you read this? Yeah, I read it. I assigned it. I'm not going to assign it if I'm not going to grade it.
Would be my response too, as a student.
But like, they were so used to completion work. Teachers just rubber stamping shit. And
I had my fair share of teachers like that too. But absolutely, I definitely had my fair share also of teachers like you that would actually do it. But I went to a small town school.
Well, so I was at a small town district, right? Mm-hmm. But so when I went to quit, my point is, he couldn't say, Shane, I'll give you $5,000 more a year. Everything he could offer me, I had already had. I had a higher stipend because I had a master's degree.
Okay.
I had a higher stipend because I was a department chair. The only thing I didn't have was a coach's stipend because I wasn't a coach.
Right.
I was the only social studies teacher, teacher who was also not a coach. There was financially, he offered me, I'll let you choose the courses you can teach. I was already doing that. There was no financial recourse he had to keep me. None. And that's
it's literally like problem. Out of the goodness of your heart, please stay.
Yes. And that's all he could say.
And like, I know like people are going to be like so hurt when I say this, but you know, teachers that are good don't want to be teachers. It seems like.
Exactly.
It seems like that's what happens.
It is.
This story is probably not the only story people have heard about this.
It's not. And you know, I think in this environment, especially probably the only other good guess that you could have when I say I was one of the top 10 teachers, I can think of three teachers off the top of my head at that school who had been there, who had been teaching 20 to 30 years and stayed with it. So I'm not about to sit here and say I was the best teacher. I was very good, but I wasn't the best, because there were some of those teachers that had the passion and they didn't let that government bullshit get in their way of teaching. I did.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to stay.
Well, how do you even not? I don't understand.
Because that's what they do. Those teachers are the ones that you want teaching your kids.
Like extremely apolitical freaking people.
Not just apolitical, but the ones who are like, this is what I do, and this is what I get paid, and I've got to go to this stupid meeting, and as soon as I leave that meeting, I'm going to forget what they said because I'm going to go focus on my kids. I would go to these meetings. Mm. We'd have to have meetings over how are your kids' test scores.
Yeah.
They're fine because my kids are learning, right? Well, let's go over these questions on this last test. Shane, 15% of your students missed question 45. How do you think you can reteach it? Oh, shit. Let me go. Yeah, so a bunch of my kids missed this question. The first year I taught, so in Texas, we have star testing, right? Which is supposedly you're supposed to take to get to the next grade.
So when I was in school, I had we still did tax.
Right.
We didn't do star yet.
Yeah.
Right? I guess the year after I graduated high school, we were doing star.
Right.
So I didn't know what star was. Is it the same?
It's supposedly an updated, better version of tax. It's the same thing. Same thing. So my first year teaching, all but two of my kids passed the U.S. History Star.
All but two?
All but two.
That's pretty good, I guess.
The only two who didn't were special ed students.
Right.
And that's not a knock on them.
No.
But that's not...
That's normal. That's what normally happens, right?
So...
That's also not a knock on them either. I'm just saying, isn't that... Like, that's to be expected, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's to be expected, but there are accommodations and there are different testing environments that they go through. And I guess my only point in that qualifier is... All of the students that I'm not a special ed teacher, right? I'm a classroom teacher.
Right.
I'm not trained to be a special ed teacher. And in our education system, we have inclusion, right? We have special ed with general population students, which I agree with, right?
Yeah.
Which is a whole nother side note.
That is definitely another thing people go.
Because I used to babysit a kid who was the guinea pig for that program, like 25 years ago now.
Wow.
Which is another documentary if you want to watch called Educating Peter, which we can talk about.
You were pretty serious about teaching then.
No, I wasn't. I just babysat.
Well, yeah, but you watched these documentaries and
They made a documentary about a kid I babysat.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not you had it backwards.
Sorry, dude. I was like, yeah, okay. No. Makes sense.
So anyway, but my whole point is my job was not to get special education students to pass that test. My job was to teach students.
Yeah.
And through my teaching them, they would pass that test. And they did. But when I went to quit, there was nothing.
And that was it, huh? So why did you say you think you gave up too early? Like, what is the...
Because I let the petty bureaucracy kind of drag me down. And, you know,
But I don't think I would be able to do – well, I'm not a teacher. But knowing how I am, and you know how I am at work, I don't think I would have been able to do it either.
Well, you've endured it for how long at work?
I've only been a service advisor for, 8 months?
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right. So
– as a tech, a while. But also because you're pretty far removed.
But I guess, but my point in saying I gave up too early is I didn't, as a second or third year teacher, I didn't have the big picture to be able to step back and look at it and say, Shane, don't worry about these things. Go to that meeting, listen to your principal's bullshit or your assistant principal's bullshit about these test questions. Yeah. And then as soon as you walk out the door, as soon as she walks out that door, forget it.
Yeah.
Because you know you're teaching your students.
And it just eats you, keep mulling over, right? Right. Well, that's another thing in psychology you might learn. If you keep thinking about something, it just makes it worse, right?
Right.
That's why they say you just don't stay mad. You know, you just can't. And that happens a lot with customers.
Yeah. That's also why I got out. So maybe there's a theme here for me, not the occupation.
But it is. Switch it off when a customer leaves. Ontario's always says I get too. Ontario's another guy we work with. Ontario's always says I get too, like, I take it too personal. My thing is, I'm reactionary the way I am, but inside, you know, I don't give a crap. I don't care what they say to me. But at the point, at that point, when it's happening, yeah, I'll react in the moment. And then when the moment's over, okay, I'm back to normal. Like, let's just go back to normal. Who cares?
Yeah.
But you're right about enduring it. Like, we have other advisors, you know, DT or some other guys up there that they've been there a while, you know? And maybe that's what you're talking about. Teachers that have just been there a while, and they end up just...
Well, so there are two kinds of teachers that have been there a while, right? The kind that are just there for the paycheck.
Right.
And the benefits and the cush gig and the summers off and know, all of that. And they're okay at their job. Mm-hmm. But students don't really learn from them. They learn through... they learn from them because that's the environment, right? Right. I mean, you're a teacher. You're still going to present information.
Yeah.
You're still going to give assignments. Most kids are good kids. They're still going to do the work. You learn just by aging, right? You learn by getting older.
And 75% of the kids actually do get there and actually go to school. They actually will there so, and do it. That makes sense.
So you can have a really mediocre teacher go through unnoticed, right, in their career. The ones that you want are the ones that have been there for 20, 30 years who once were like me but didn't let all that political crap get in their way.
And those
and didn't let it derail them.
And those types of people become professors, right?
No. Oh, not necessarily. So? No. Okay. No. Professors and teachers are two different kind of career paths, you know.
Oh.
A professor is a... A professor, you want to do research.
Well, you had a master's.
Yeah.
A master's in what?
Political science.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm getting my master's in education right now.
I didn't know. Okay, wow.
I have nothing else to do.
You're getting your master's in education right now?
Yeah. So I had half a master's in education.
Dude, we should have just led with that. Hey, this is the Toasty Podcast. I got a guest on. He's got a master's.
So you needed to do research on your guest before.
It's crazy, dude. No, I just really wanted to have, like, this is like a...
Yeah. I told you all that before.
This was the No Plans podcast.
Oh, okay. This is what it is. The throwaway one?
It's not throwaway. It's, like, really good. It's got a lot of juicy information in it. I use that word juicy just for you.
Thanks.
Anyway, so you're getting your master's in education.
Yeah.
Why? If you got out of it, now you want to be a professor?
No.
I'd like to tell you where to find the rest of this episode. Go to patreon.com/toastypodcast. There, you'll find our full, unedited, and uncut version of this episode. Thanks for watching. Toasty.